You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I have a really cool story for us today. We'll be talking about dinosaurs again. If you remember, like, I think it was a few weeks ago, where we did the same, like, similar story, talking about old species here in New Zealand. And yeah, I had an opportunity to speak down, to Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago. Yeah, guess what we were talking about today, Trishel?
A little bit of Jurassic World and how it is very, very scientifically inaccurate.
Close. We are talking about New Zealand's extinct reptiles. Now, I'm a big fan of sea monsters. I think they're sick. should probably get into the story. Look, I'll let Nick explain to you guys what we were talking about.
No, we do. So the three main groups of marine reptiles that we've got in the fossil record is we've got the basically the plesiosaur group that's got your plesiosaurs, which you can think of as your long-necked marine reptiles, and your elasmosaurs, which are the ones with the really, really long neck. We don't tend to have any pliosaurs, which are the short-necked ones, like the famous Kronosaurus in Australia. But we've also got mosasaurs, which the really big scary ones, and then we've got ichthyosaurs as well, which are commonly known as the fish lizards. They superficially look something like a dolphin.
To my understanding, Auckland Museum had an exhibit with these reptiles on display?
Yeah, they did, and I think it was the same one that was down here at Otago Museum that I took my kids to, and they absolutely loved it.
But yeah, interestingly enough, these they're so fascinating. I think particularly because they sort of capture that whole sea monster sort of crowd as well, like you said, especially with the Mosasaurus, which is, you know, it was featured in Jurassic Park and such. Yeah, so tell me a bit about all of them and, yeah, what we know so far.
Yeah, so New Zealand's dinosaur record's quite fragmentary, and most of it's known from areas like Port Waikato or up the back of Hawke's Bay, the famous site that Joan and Pont Whiffen found New Zealand's first dinosaurs, or there's some dinosaurs out on the Chatham Islands. We've got a really good marine reptile fossil record with sites up the back of Hawke's Bay again, around Lake Waikaremoana, inland from Hawke's Bay, and also the Waipara River Gorge in North Canterbury. And so the interesting, all the other sites probably suggest is Shag Point, where we've got Kaifekia, colloquially known as Shagosaurus down here, which is that big plesiosaur that's on display in Otago Museum. And so for the likes of mosasaur, there are several species that were in New Zealand. And mosasaurs are really interesting because they only arose about 30 million years before the extinction of the dinosaurs and the plesiosaurs. They like just appeared like almost like a blip in the fossil record. And there's one theory that the rise of mosasaurs actually led to the extinction of the ichthyosaurs. There's another theory is that volatility in the environment and climate led to the extinction of the ichthyosaurs. Now, New Zealand's ichthyosaur record is quite a bit fragmentary. There's been some finds that are still undergoing investigation, found up the Clarence River near Kaikoura. And there's some really famous finds from Mount Potts in Canterbury in the 1800s that supposedly had some of the biggest vertebrae ever found, similar in size to like the giant Shonosaurus and Shassosaurus, around 21 meters long. But all of those bones were put on a ship and sent to America, and the ship went down. And no one's ever been able to verify those giant finds. Now, with the plesiosaurs and the elasmosaurs, is we've got skull material, some of the exquisite skulls, like sitting at GNS and Te Papa. And there's been a bit of research done on this group in New Zealand, but also work that my wife did as part of her honours work, looking at neck function in this group. And it looks like they all swam with their heads down, but also they had limited movement in their neck. So you're not going to get like the classic neck shapes like people associate with the Loch Ness Monster and elasmosaurs and plesiosaurs.
Yeah, now it's interesting you bring that up. The Loch Ness Monster has been compared to, was it the plesiosaur?
Yeah, plesiosaurs and elasmosaurs, yeah.
Mm. And it's kind of brung forth myths or even conspiracies. I don't want to say conspiracies, that's something else. It's brung forward legends that the plesiosaur is still alive, it never went extinct. As well as this, there's also, you know, it's again, all of these creatures have captured the imagination of loads of people. And there's also many misconceptions, right?
So, like, with the Loch Ness Monster, let's just assume it's a plesiosaur, is you need a population surviving through tens of millions of years after their extinction everywhere else. This population needs to be big enough that you have enough genetic variation so that your population doesn't come inbred or go into what we would call genomic meltdown, like the mammoths on Wrangell Island did, where there's just not enough genetic variation. The population just goes into freefall. But the other thing is you have to be aware of is Loch Ness is a glacial carved lake that would have been under ice at the height of the last ice age. So the more you actually start thinking about what would it take for plesiosaurs to biologically survive tens of millions of years after their extinction everywhere else, it just becomes completely implausible. But it still captures the public imagination.
Yeah. Now, another misconception to do with the mosasaur was how big it actually was. Now, I feel like a lot of people would blame Jurassic World for its portrayal of the size of the mosasaur. Obviously, it was a gigantic creature, and we're all aware of that. But yeah, I've seen some threads or even just articles being written about it being bigger than the Megalodon or being compared to the Megalodon, you know, or even just other gigantic creatures which had lived. Sorry, this is kind of turning into an episode of Mythbusters here. So if you'd like to address that as well, how big was the Mosasaur?
So definitely not going to be as big as a Megalodon, which was, about 13 metres, the size of a Cessna aircraft, I think is what people usually suggest. So you're probably looking like within about 10 metres. Definitely don't quote me on that one. But one of the really interesting things with mosasaurs is what they're actually related to. And so they kind of superficially look like varanid lizards, and there's been this big debate of are they the most closely related group to the varanid lizards, or are they most closely related to snakes? Some early genetic studies suggest, and some of the data that's actually out now is suggesting that mosasaurs are most closely related to snakes. So whether snakes evolved from mosasaurs or whether mosasaurs and snakes actually split off tens of millions or hundreds of millions of years ago, the jury's still out.
You know, we obviously, it's super interesting to hear that New Zealand had all these species of megafauna and just such larger than life creatures. Just you wouldn't expect to see them in our waters. Is there anything else which captures your attention that you that you'd want to look into in regards to these sort of animals?
So one of the cool things I'd actually like to do around the marine reptiles in New Zealand is actually start looking at basically their ecology and how the different trophic levels or the different levels within the ecosystem function. And you can start doing that with looking at isotopes on their bones. So isotopes will give you indication of like habitat and what they eat and temperature and everything. So it's kind of like you are what you eat. So you can start answering some really cool questions around what did they eat? What sort of predator were they? Were they low down in the predators, or were they up high with hyper predators? But also, did they regulate their temperature? Were they warm-blooded? Were they cold-blooded? There's been a lot of interesting work done with extinct marine reptiles suggesting that some species could regulate their temperature, and that they actually had what they call genetic sex determination, so determining whether you're male or female, and you need that before you can evolve live birth. So there's lots of interesting things you can actually address.
That was Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago, speaking to us about New Zealand's extinct reptiles. You are on the wire for Rahina Monday. It is 12:38. Remember, you can text us in 53955. Let us know what you think of all these stories you've heard so far. Trishul, how are we doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. What do you think of the show so far?
It's been pretty solid. Pretty good. Nice to hear you talking to your best friend again.
Thanks. yes. Looking forward to hearing a lot more from Dr. Nick Rawlins. Yeah, hopefully, maybe not too regularly, but as regular as we possibly can be.
Oh, of course.
You know, got to mix it up somehow as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.